The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
So 52 yards to try to get it to overtime. Brett Maher. It all rides on his toe. And the kick. It hits the upright. No good. Washington wins it.
Wow, and there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Washington Redskins with the 2017 win over the Dallas Cowboys.
I call that the clank of victory.
The clank of victory, man, and the agony of losing due to the kicker's foot. Man, craziness. So it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM website, federalnewsnetwork.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. And, man, what a crazy game. And you know what? We're going to get to specifics in the game and talk about player performances. We're going to give out Stanfield players of the game. But here's the thing I've got to just say, just right off the break. I've never seen a game where both head coaches deserve to be fired.
Right.
No matter who wins or loses. Directly after the game than in this game. It was like we were watching two first-year football head coaches who've never coached football before, just kind of watched on the sidelines
first year
in high school.
Not professional coaches who get paid to make these decisions.
The coaching blunder, it was unbelievable on both ends. And by the way, if you're a Cowboys fan, you could make the argument that, yes, the head coach should be fired, but also the offensive coordinator should be fired as well. Whoever's calling the play has got to go along with Jason Garrett. I mean, it was unbelievably bad coaching in this game.
Yeah, let's start out at the end and work our way back.
Right, because the only good coaching that happened was before the game, before they had to make any decisions.
Yeah, they probably declined. I didn't see if they deferred or not, but, as usual, bad. But let's start with the bad coaching decision when, after the play was challenged, when Beasley caught the ball over the middle. Mm-hmm. It might not have been Beasley, but it was ruled a catch on the field. Washington challenged.
Right.
Right, there was 12 seconds left on the clock at mm-hmm. that point. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure if Washington challenged or it was a booth challenge, but it was like 10 seconds transpired. While we were in the studio saying, well, coach probably should like spike the ball. He's got a timeout left,
exactly.
Right? You have a chance to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out they ruled that it was a catch. And at that point, when the refs when the refs spotted the ball, the clock would start.
Right.
But they would start the clock. We figured that they would spike the ball.
Exactly. To save time.
You got timeouts.
Exactly.
You got one timeout.
One timeout. You're in field goal range at this point.
Right.
Spike the ball so that you have more time on the clock so you can maybe take two shots at the end zone or move up a little closer to give your kicker a better shot at making a field goal and then call your timeout.
Right. Now, not rooting for anybody, but being the football analyst that we are, right? We're the journalists, right? We're just saying smart football would dictate you got 12 seconds. You want to win this game. You got a chance to take a shot. The shot's not there. Throw the ball through the goalpost.
Exactly.
Right? That's what we're looking for them to do.
Uh-huh.
They run the ball up the middle
with Zeke, he gets like 3 or 4 yards, and then they use the timeout.
Then they have to use the timeout.
Wait a minute. Like, why wouldn't you throw the ball? You might not even have to use the timeout. You could try to sneak two shots in there. Who knows? Maybe a quick 4 to 5 a second out to the sideline, see if you can get down, get out of bounds, and then another shot of the end zone. I'm thinking, wait a minute. What in the world is happening
now,
here?
Now, in case you're wondering, we are the Washington football team radio show. Now,
exactly.
We will analyze this, but we like good football.
There was
too,
just
right?
so much bad coaching we're looking
bad.
At. Like, what in the world? And then, so we're looking at a situation then where it's like, okay, so now you've got, what is it? 3 seconds
three
left.
3 seconds
and a 47-yard field goal. And then your long snapper, moves the ball.
Yeah, he doesn't do that very often.
Like,
right?
No, it's like, wait a minute. He's a long time long snapper for this team. He knows what he's doing. He moves the ball and gets a 5-yard penalty.
And you know, in retrospect,
and that 5 yards made a difference.
In retrospect, because when the clank of victory occurred, because the ball sort of hooked to the left at the very end mm-hmm. of his trajectory, mm-hmm. right? And you figure that 5 yards made all the difference in the world.
Oh,
right?
Goodness,
you know?
It made a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
unbelievable.
We're quite happy. But see, that's what the poor coaching job on the Dallas part, but it was made possible by the poor coaching decision on Washington's
this
part.
This was a second chance miracle, you know, shot that Dallas got, because the Redskins coaching staff, well, and I'll just blame Gruden, Jay Gruden,
he is the play call.
Totally kept them in the game and let them in the game. First of all, let's start in the fourth quarter with 9 minutes, 45 seconds left in the game. You're up 20-10, and what's the first thing you do first and 10? Pass the ball.
Well, no, you can't do that. You got to get the ball to Adrian Peterson, because he's on his way to 100 yards for the game.
What you're saying makes sense. Yeah, and that's what any good coach would
that's
do.
That's what we're saying here in
Even
the studio.
Even if you were in coaching on the collegiate level, high school level, boys club level, you would run the ball in that situation.
Well, you figured they hadn't stopped them yet, you know.
Exactly. Especially when the team hasn't seemed to show any ability to stop Adrian Peterson for three straight downs. And you're up by 10.
Yeah.
Run the ball.
And you know what? And you figured, okay, you give him that break. You know, you figure if he's ever faced with that opportunity again, then he would just give Adrian Peterson the ball. But you know what? He had another chance to do it again late mm-hmm. in the game.
But even before you get late in the game, there was another moment, I think in that same drive, where there's about 8 minutes and 30-some-odd seconds left, and again, not running the ball.
Yeah, I'll forgive him for that one. Because I'd almost forgotten about this one. But the one that I didn't understand, and we looked at it, we said, okay, he runs the ball three straight times, nothing mm-hmm. happened, mm-hmm. you know, then we punt, right? Not only did he call a pass play, mm-hmm. which I figured, oh, this has got to be like a draw play or something, right? Something creative. Because uh-huh. any reasonable football mind would run the ball in that situation to eat up the clock. Because you can't. The late, great George Allen once said this about passing the ball. When you pass the football, only three things can happen, mm-hmm. and two of them are bad.
Two of them are bad.
Two of them are bad. Uh-huh. But see, it didn't even, you know, Dallas cooperated with the Burgundy and Gold because they wouldn't let him pass, and Alex Smith started running.
Exactly.
And we figured mm-hmm. this is cool. At least he's running the ball. He's not passing, right? Maybe uh-huh. he came to his senses. Except the boy ran out of bounds.
Now, here's the thing. I think this happened before the final drive for
yes,
the Cowboys.
Yes.
So let's go back a series, even before that series, we're still 20-10, and the Cowboys. So we're looking at this thing, and we're like, all right, the Redskins have the ball, they have the lead, and what do you expect them to do? To run
the
ball.
Eat the clock.
And so the Cowboys are going to try their best, what, to score. So the draft before the one that you're talking about, 2010, the Cowboys are going to try to move the ball down the field. The Cowboys haven't been able to put together any kind of substantial drive all game long. What do the Redskins do? Go to some silly prevent defense, open in the middle of the field to any Cowboys receiver, and Dak Prescott running the ball, and the Cowboys are able to score a touchdown. They haven't been able to move the ball all game. Why are you going to some kind of prevent defense? You're giving them 15 to 20 yards a pop. What are you doing?
Yeah, well, see, it was the fact that Dak Prescott ran the ball, because that's obviously a surprise to him, because no one else in the world had ever thought that Dak Prescott might run the ball, mm-hmm. right? And so we figured if we let him run enough, he'd tire himself out and be exhausted in the game, right?
Yeah, well, right, exactly. At some point, and this is why, you know, I don't care about Greg Minuski. Here's why at some point I'm blaming this on Gruden. Because if I see my defensive coordinator doing some ridiculous stuff like that, I might say, you know what? Don't listen to this play, guys. Here's what we're going to do.
Right.
Let's go back to what we've been doing, because they haven't been able to move the ball all game long.
I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. There cannot be an explanation. There cannot be an explanation, right? But, you know, let's it's hard not to harp on this, right? I mean, this is a victory, right? Mm-hmm. This is standing alone with the events of today. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with the Giants later on, but with the fact that the Eagles lost, we are standing alone on the top of the NFC East. This is uncharted territory, right, at this time of the year. But still,
yeah, no, you're right. For it to be almost November and for the Redskins, which brings up another point. It's already week 7.
Oh, yeah.
Good night, Kevin.
Man, they had my Stanfield riding high, though, for a minute.
Unbelievable. Speaking of Stanfield, so I finally got a chance to come in studio to do the show. Great box of some Stanfield gear here. We got some T-shirts and sweatshirts and man, some undergarments. Can't wait to try these on tomorrow.
Now, I'm telling you, this is quality stuff now. I mean, I encourage everybody to check him out at Stanfield LTD on Twitter, right? Go to the Stanfield's website.
So Stanfield, Stanfield's.com is the website. You can order some stuff. They've got this Stanfield's Air model of underclothes. It's supposed to be the lightest ever. So I've got a charity golf tournament I'm playing in tomorrow. Tomorrow being Monday because we're recording this on a Sunday. And I'm going to see if these are as light and as airy as they say they are.
I'm going to go so far as to say they're going to take 4 strokes off your game.
Well, I hope so.
They do the impossible.
So anyway, right? Unbelievable game, man. And just again, I think that whole fourth quarter, Kevin and I are just screaming, whether it's the Cowboys or whether it's through the Redskins. I mean, the poor coaching that went on in this game, unbelievable.
It's just a league-wide trend. It's just like the basics of football have just gone by the wayside because the people don't see the value of little things like ball control.
And by the way, the Redskins did win today.
yeah. And that's a good thing, right? It's because everything we mentioned can be corrected.
Right.
Everything can be corrected, and they can stand on top of the NFC East proudly and knowing that people are going to come after them, and it's not just like you're not physically able to keep up with the teams. It's just you got to create like the touchdown, the touchdown that Dallas scored. Now I know we're jumping around a little bit, but it's all the common theme here. It's just like coaching. I tweeted at Stanfield Kevin like 5 minutes because Dallas was running a lot of out routes. Mm-hmm. You know, they were running like 10 yards and out, right? And they were being pretty effective, right? They're hitting like the Redskins were playing the bend but don't break thing, but they were being pretty effective. And I tweeted and I said, look for Dallas to do a hitch and go or out and up or something because they're so effective on the outs.
What
happened? 3 minutes later.
Michael Gallup.
3 minutes later, yep. And I tweeted again at Stanfield Kevin. I hate it when I'm right. You know, here's the part that bothers me about that, though. I'm not a paid professional
You're not getting paid hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to analyze that.
Not even tens of dollars to do that. And I know this was going to happen. And I tweeted immediately after. You all knew this was going to happen, too.
Mm-hmm.
The famous double move. You knew it was going to happen. How come the coaches didn't say, hey, watch out for the double move. Watch out for the hitch and go. We know it's coming. You guys are rookies. You got to coach these guys up. Why are the coaches there? If they're not going to say that, why are they there?
Right. What's the point of having the coaches there if they're not going to coach? If they're not going to be able to see what's going on and foresee what's happening?
But we didn't win. We're still in first place.
Redskins improved to 4-2. The Cowboys dropped to 3-4. The Eagles also fell to 3-4.
That's
the Giants pretty irrelevant at 1-5.
And they're coming next week, and we're going to crush them and show them who's the beast of the East.
Exactly. And you're looking. I mean, look, man. If you get that win against the Giants, you're looking at a team that could be 5-2.
That's right.
After 7 games, 8
weeks in. Trying our own territory. We're talking about home field advantage for the playoffs. That's right. Although, with all those empty seats in FedEx Field, we don't know what that would mean.
Exactly. Yeah, who knows what that would mean for the Redskins. And so, yeah, man, I mean, when we look at this whole thing, again, Adrian Peterson, man, you know, hats off to him with another great game. And by the way, last week, I think I called it where I said it was going to be like 24-23 and 23-14. I was close.
You were very, very close. We went back and looked at the archives, and I thought it would be a little bit more spread out. I think I would call like a 31-14 game, and they had every opportunity, but the play calling was just bizarre. There was no rhyme or reason to it. Adrian Peterson is gaining these yards in spite of the play call.
Adrian Peterson, 24 carries, 99 yards. He averaged 4.1 yard a carry.
And that's after several plays that lost yardage.
Yeah,
because they played him in the shotgun.
And why was there why 9 minutes left, a little under 8 minutes left, are you not running the ball to Adrian Peterson? Why on that last drive is Alex Smith running the ball? And then he runs out of bounds. Like, Adrian Peterson should have the... Why is the Hall of Famer here? if during crunch time you're not going to give him the ball?
It's obvious.
Why? Because it's not even as if he's not being productive. He's being super productive, the most productive person on the offense. Why isn't he running the ball?
You know, the rumor has it that Doug Williams didn't tell anybody that he was bringing AJ Peterson in. He was just here when it showed up mm-hmm. one here, and he just outworked out everybody, and they were mad at Doug. Doug, you can't be doing this. You can't be, like, making good decisions without letting us know, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, and we all know Gruden's reputation with running backs, and he has none.
Right. You know, right.
Running back, I've made.
He's never met a running back, hey, we didn't want to give the ball
That's
to.
That's right. Look, I said it's like wearing neckties, right? You know, you might have to wear one to work.
Wanted to give the ball.
Yeah. You might have to wear your necktie at work, but you don't have to wear the same one. You know, that's Gruden's thing, right? So he just doesn't. But because of injuries, because of the fact that Chris Thompson was out today, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, let's talk about that. No Chris Thompson.
Right.
Jameson Crowder or right? Paul Richardson, right?
Or Richardson, right? And you got to, okay, well, later on we're going to talk a little bit about that. But he was forced to leave Adrian Peterson in the mm-hmm. game. He had to. He mm-hmm. had no choice. And AP produced.
Yeah, and every now and again I'm watching. It's like Capri Bibbs. It's like, wait, what are we doing
here?
Who
scored the first touchdown, right? Because mm-hmm. they called a play designed for him because he's that type of back and mm-hmm. it was third down. That's what yeah. That was the logic of the situation, right? It's the thing, right? You gotta have your go-to move, right? You know, like Kareem had the sky hook. Mm-hmm. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's when you needed to. Kareem had the sky hook. He could go in and you couldn't stop him.
Yep.
You couldn't stop. The Redskins needed a go-to move. It used to have the counter tray. Mm-hmm. You just couldn't stop it. Or the little hitch pass to Art Monk. You couldn't stop it. They don't have a go-to thing or something they're willing to make their go-to thing. They just right. are trying stuff.
Yeah.
And to see what happens, right? You know?
Still trying to find the identity. Yeah, we talked about
yes,
it. We're
they
still
are.
Trying to find the identity of this team. By the way, talk about rushing carries. I mean, Zeke, best player on the Cowboys team, 15 carries.
Thank you, Dallas.
In a game that was never out of hand.
Thank you, Dallas.
In a game that was never out of hand.
Thank you, Dallas.
15 carries.
Thank you, Dallas.
33 yards.
Thank you, Dallas.
They should be fired. They should be fired. Wow. Unbelievable. So, yes, it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. 20-17, the Redskins improved to 4-2. First place in the NFC
East. That's right.
Coming up next, we've got fake news or not. Stay close to the Federal Football Report on the Federal News Network. Welcome back to segment number two of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Redskins victorious over the hated rivals, the Dallas Cowboys, 20-17.
Yes.
To improve to 4-2, 3-4 for the Cowboys as they fall one game. I guess it's like, what, a game and a half back of the Redskins? Because it's got a bye week coming up.
Yeah,
one of the teams is only
going to
get about a game and a half. But the Redskins with an excellent opportunity to kind of compound that if they can beat the Giants next week.
That's right.
I mean, then you're looking at something that you're working with
That's
there.
Right.
But anyway, America, it's time for your favorite segment. It's time for fake news or not.
It's time for fake news. Or not.
That's right. Three statements that I give to Kevin. Kevin lets me know whether it's fake news or obviously not.
Not.
Statement number one. This team actually might be talented enough to win despite coaching mistakes by Jay Gruden. Fake news or not.
That's the truth, man. That's news right there. It's at some point, and I said this last week.
We're not making too much of these mistakes, right?
I mean, no.
Okay, go ahead.
This was ridiculous. This was ridiculous, right? Because it ends up, and he's quick to blame a player, like he was saying in the press conference last week. Well, I don't hold the ball too long. Got to get it out there, miss something. Mm-hmm. You know, no. You call quicker plays. Call something where you can get the ball out there.
If you see he's holding it too long, instead of waiting until after the game in the press conference to talk about it, why not pull him over to the shoulder, tap him, put him over to the sidelines, tap him on the shoulder. Hey, Alex, you're holding it too long.
Really,
get rid of it quicker.
Yeah, get rid of it. Get rid of it. No.
And if you don't, we'll put Colt in.
And I tweeted that too. At some point, you had to pull the trigger on Colt. You know, like that's what you do with a Colt. You pull the trigger on. But no, I think that you have enough veteran leadership on this team. Enough guys who have been through it. I mean, even Alex Smith has been through it. Right.
You know? Adrian Peterson.
That's
been
right.
through it.
Been through
Vernon
it.
Vernon
right?
Davis.
Been through it. That's right. You got guys who have been through it, and you got enough young, hungry guys like the guys from Alabama on this team, right? You know, you got a Josh Norman and a DJ Swearinger, right? Guys who have been through it. And you got to admire, like, the young guys in the secondary. They get burned, but they don't hang their heads. They just come back and play harder the next play, you know? So I think that's news right there. Yeah, we got enough talent on this team that they can play in spite of what's being done to them. And that's bad. That's bad.
Well, there you go. That's question number one. I think that, yes, they have enough talent on the team to win despite what's happening to them, because I think that the coaching mistakes end up some not being tragic in the fact that it makes games like this one that shouldn't be this close close. You know what I mean? And so and games that they could win close, they end up losing close because of these coaching mistakes. And but I think that they have enough, like you said, when you look at Adrian Peterson, you look at Alex Smith, that they have enough to where, and this is, and again, I'm saying this because the team we just beat, the Cowboys, kind of had the same situation where when Tony Romo was playing, I think it's so obvious now that he would make up for Jason Garrett's mistakes and Scott Linehan's mistakes when they'd call wrong plays. He was at the point where he would just call his own plays. You know what I mean? And he could get them out of situations. They're not in that situation right now. But we see the same thing with Dallas, where poor coaching decisions causes them to lose games. They lost to the Texans because it's 4th and inches, and as opposed to going for it, he decides in overtime to what?
Funny you mention that, because it was a key play in the game when it was 4th and short, and they decided to go for it, and DJ Swearson came up and put his hat on the ball, and Dak fumbled, and then in their own territory, which adds to this whole issue of bad coaching decisions. Why do you want to go for it on 4th down? You see, here's somebody told me once and said, what you got to do if you're going for 2 or going for it on 4th down, you have to calculate what will happen if you don't make it.
Right.
It's
called risk management.
Yeah.
Assess the risk.
And because Washington didn't capitalize, but he gave them an opportunity to do this, right? So, yeah, it's very interesting. Again, we're very thankful to the coaching staff of the Dallas Cowboys, right? Because it made this first place even more enjoyable, because it was Dallas. And we just want to give a thank you to Coach Garrett and all those Dallas fans who were in the stadium in FedEx Field today. I wanted to give a personal thank you, because I know you'll be listening. You're not going to forget this one for a long, because you're going to say, oh, we were so close. We were so close. You'll say that, but what I will say is you lost.
Right. Close, okay. Then. But no cigar.
No cigar. Okay.
Not close
all
enough.
All right. Okay.
The kick was close, but it didn't make
no,
it.
No cigar.
Close
right.
Don't count.
That's right.
So fake news and not question number two. You know, the receiving squad has taken a lot of hits this year, but they actually are coming to form, played pretty good this game, fake news or not.
Oh, that's news right there. That's news, because Dotson's jersey was the dirtiest I've seen it this year. Right? and you know, a couple of plays here or there where Tony Romo was saying that the guys were running wide open. Mm-hmm. And what this shows you, I mean, it might seem like it's off from your question, because your question is definitely news. That's not fake news. That's the truth. It shows you the importance of the preseason, because we barely saw Alex Smith in the preseason for some unknown reason. You barely saw him. And now you're hearing all these things about it's a new system. This is Alex's first time in the system.
Which he's seems like that's a reason to play him in the preseason.
You know what? They have time in the preseason to do that. That's
they knew that this was a new season, a new system for him in the preseason, right?
Well, I guess they figured, well, you know, it's Alex. Either he'll get it or he won't. Guess what? He didn't. He didn't. So it's completely ridiculous. Where are the guys who were playing in the preseason? Who are the quarterbacks? Colt McCoy. Mm-hmm. He already knows the system.
Right. And whoever, so maybe he shouldn't play, right? He doesn't need to play.
Yeah, don't play coach. Yeah, play somebody who doesn't know the system. But yeah, so I think that has a lot to do with it, right? Just getting to know your talent, know your receivers, right? They're so busy dogging Dotson for some reason, and you know, you got to throw him the ball. Once you throw him the ball, he catches the ball. You know, it hasn't done anything spectacular yet. There was a blatant pass interference penalty that they did not call, because the cornerback held Dotson's arms down. They couldn't get to it. He's going to have to start catching those with one hand. He's going to have to be considered spectacular just to be normal and accepted around here, which is not fair, but that's how the guys who aren't us in the media.
That's how
they treat the guy. But I think guys like Mo Harris and Malcolm Floyd wasn't even on the team 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He had a lot of key catches today, right? And had a catch that was just barely out of bounds, got his toenail on the white line, you know? So I'm thinking this receiving corps will be pretty good if they throw to him. You know, there was one play in the game. I forget exactly the circumstance. It was a key play. You know why I know it was key? Because we looked up and we saw both Adrian Peterson and Jordan Reed walking off the field.
Yes, yes. It was that last drive. It actually might have been the last drive before the Cowboys' final drive. And it might have been the play that Alex Smith ran.
I think that was the play because we said
third down, super critical. Oh, look, there's Jordan Reed and Adrian Peterson both leaving the game.
This is ridiculous. It has to stop.
Again,
man.
Another reason why this coach should be out of here. Even after a win, get him out of here.
Something's got to happen.
Fake news or not. Next question. This Dallas Cowboy Washington Redskins rivalry is alive and well. Fake news or not?
That's news, brother. That's news right there because it number one, I saw how many, not only Dallas fans were at the game, but how many of them had good seats. That made it even matter, you know, and just the anger I felt is going to help pump this rivalry up, right? The players got to look around and see that's happening and they got to get mad. I mean, they can't get mad at the fans and then this helps them to unite. That helps them realize that, you know, instead of like the guy gets burned, instead of like talking bad about the guy who gets burned, you unite, you comfort him and say, that's all right, you'll get him next time. That's what teammates do, right? You know, and I think that stuff like that is going to help unite the team. It's going to, this rivalry is alive and well. The next time they play, they can walk up to the kicker and they can say, Clank.
Call him Clank. I think the rivalry is alive and well, but here's a bonus fake news or not question for you. So I'm listening to, and I don't mind mentioning this, but I'm listening to our guy Doc Walker during the week, and he had Nate Newton on his show, and they're talking and talking and stuff. So he asked him about the rivalry, and because Nate, people don't know, spent I think his first year or rookie year, or part of that first part of his tenure in the league in Washington.
Yeah.
And he was cut, and then Dallas picked him up. Or released or whatever, and Dallas picked him up. So he asked them, as someone who'd been on both sides of the rivalry, how is it in Dallas? Because up here, it's Dallas week, and we hate it. He said, you know what? The rivalry doesn't really mean as much to us down there as it means to you guys up here. Is that fake news or not, that the rivalry doesn't mean as much to the Cowboys as it means to the Redskins?
I think that's news. I think that they have been spoiled and pampered. I think they got the nice AT&T stadium. I think that they're so used to being on the national stage and just having like things just handed to them on a silver platter and that's how the rivalry started. The rivalry started when George Allen came to town and said, we got to beat these Cowboys. That's it. You know, we want this division to be our division, right? We got to beat these guys. And Washington was just hoping to beat anybody for the longest time. But see, what we got to continue to do it like this. We got, you know, close games. We got to humiliate them. We got to rub their nose in it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we have to make the rivalry. We will make this rivalry great again. We should make, MR. We can't be MAGA. MRGA. MAGA. Right? Uh-huh. Make rivalry great again, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and we got to do it by just dominating them in every chance we get and letting them know who we are. We're the first place team, and you guys are the also-rans. Maybe after being swept by Washington this year, they might look at Jason Garrett's position and say, well, you know what? It might be time to do something now.
Well, I mean, look, absolutely. And it's funny that you say that because, you know, the Cowboys won four straight against the Redskins up until today, 6 of 7 up until today. And, yeah, you know, I totally get, and Nate Newton said something on the show. He said that he thinks because, you know, throughout the years, whether it's been the Eagles or been the Giants, felt like everybody was kind of gunning for them anyway. And so, you know, some of those there had been periods where the rivalry was a little more tense with the Cowboys and Eagles or Cowboys and Giants.
Right.
But the Redskins thing kind of wasn't, you know, a whole big deal. And I was actually thinking, like, well, so for Cowboy fans, the Cowboy fans who are in Washington, who grew up in Washington, so for fans in Dallas, I believe what Nate Newton is saying. That's news. But for Cowboy fans who grew up in Washington, it's probably totally different to where this is the biggest rivalry because you're around so many Redskins fans and you want to see them lose.
Well,
right?
You know, I used to think that they were so misguided, like the Cowboys fans, right? But, you know, everybody's got to go somewhere, right? You know? Everybody's got to be somewhere. And you know what? There's a lot of Cowboy fans here. And you know what? Anytime you all want to just come on over, we'll welcome you with open arms. Because if you don't come over, you look at what you got. You got a team that got rid of your best player, right?
Yeah.
You got rid of your best player.
Well, when you think about it, Jason Witten retires.
Yeah.
Des Bryant, they get rid of him. And then Dan Bailey, because he was the kicker for a long time, mm-hmm. I mean, and had all kind of records. And they cut him because they felt this guy was better.
Yeah.
This guy didn't make a game-winning field goal against Detroit, but then he misses a field goal that could have tied the games in the overtime, and who knows what happens at that point.
Yeah, so Cowboys fans are suffering from self-inflicted wounds.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it would be therapeutic if you all come on over from the dark side and step into the light. You know, we'll welcome you with open arms, right? You know, just leave your Dallas jersey at the doorstep,
you know,
you come in. You know, you got to wipe your feet on something, right?
Absolutely.
You know? And come on over to the first place, Burgundy and Gold. I repeat, the first place, Burgundy and Gold.
That was Fake News or Not, everybody. Thank you so much for that segment. So now, Kevin, let's break down this game piece by piece, or at least side of the ball by side of the ball. Your offensive evaluations of this game, so needed to come out even after the Carolina win and even after the New Orleans Saints debacle. The offense needed to show some kind of signs of life. Your thoughts on the offense in general?
I think that the talent is there. I just think it's being misappropriated. I think they're trying to do the wrong things at the wrong time, and they're trying to make guys fit into their system. And to the guys' credit, they're doing the best they can. But to have Jordan Reed only targeted like three or four times, because I haven't seen anybody been able to stop Jordan Reed, you know?
Right.
And to like we said, have Adrian Peterson out of the game on critical circumstances, and the timing that's off. Smith missed a wide open Vernon Davis on a bootleg early in the game, a roll to the right, a bootleg. He was wide open in the end zone, made a valiant effort, but he just overthrew him. Instead of just, it was a mm-hmm. you know, it was a pitch and catch type deal, right? You know, so I think it's there. I just think that, you know, all the ingredients are there, right? I don't know if we're dealing with Emerald or some of the contestants on next top on, you know, the worst cook in America, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
It's very intriguing.
That's you know, I agree. The talent's there, but something's not clicking. Because, again, 2017, but the defense scored a touchdown.
Yes,
just 13 points from the offense.
Yes, yes.
And I'll be honest with you, this kicker makes that field goal. I'm not confident that the Redskins could score again in overtime.
No.
Like, when it was 20-10 after the defense scored a touchdown, it seemed as if, and almost like the coaches were calling the play, as if they felt as if the game was all but over, which is odd because I would assume you'd run a little bit more if that's what you felt.
But
by the way that they were playing defense, just giving them the middle of the field, letting them run the ball, move the ball down the field, it's as if they were coaches, if the game was already over, there's nothing left to play for. You know, they tie that game up, it could be deflating, and who knows what happens in overtime.
I'm not liking the situation that they're putting the defense in a lot of times. They were good in bringing pressure early, mm-hmm. and you saw like Josh Harvey Clemens coming off the edge a couple of times, just missed Dax for a sack. Brian Kerrigan was active and busy. You got to love Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne. You just got, I mean, if they just, when they learn how to play the game, when they learn a move or two, a spin move or a swim move or something, mm-hmm. right now they're just raw and they're just effective, right? You know,
right.
The linebackers played a good game today. I just don't understand, like, when it was crunch time, why they put them in a situation. They almost put them in a situation where Cole Beasley beat them deep to
win
the game.
Well, I mean, if Dak makes that throw, that's a touchdown.
Yeah,
if Dak
yeah.
makes that throw, that's, and it was just outside his face. He makes that throw, it is a touchdown.
Yeah, but, you know, they had one defensive lap early in the first half, but the defense played well.
Very well.
The calls changed. Something mm-hmm. happened in the fourth quarter, and the calls changed.
I never get this. When the game is, and I know we talked about this in the first segment, but it's so ridiculous that I have to address it again. I never get why when the game is still in reach of the other team, but you're just comfortable enough to say, hey, I think we got this, you change everything that puts you in that position.
Why do they do that?
Why do that? Like, if the defense has been playing its butt off, which they had been doing all game, why all of a sudden when it's 20-10 do you switch everything?
It's so strange.
I just don't get it.
You know what it is? It goes back to what we were saying earlier. It's not trying to outplay the other team. Mm-hmm. It's trying to outsmart the other team.
Right.
And you got to outplay them before you can outsmart them. Mm-hmm. Just continually trying to outsmart them means that you don't have enough confidence in what you're doing. To just put it out there, say, mine can beat yours.
And by playing that way, mine can beat yours, is what got you up by 10 points with less than 10 minutes to go in the game in the first place.
Man,
need to switch.
Hey, you know, if I'm Dallas, I'm thinking every time Adrian Peterson goes to the sideline, that's a victory for me.
Right, yes, right.
I don't have to count. I don't have to think about, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I can stop everybody else, right? But every time he goes to the sideline, you're doing the other team a favor, right? Just leave him in the game as just the possibility that AP might get the ball. That's mm-hmm. something in their head,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And Tony Moe,
at best, is going to freeze a linebacker or two or safety, you know what I mean, to get someone else open.
And Tony Romo made a brilliant point when the last drive that Burgundy and Gold had. He said, if you're going to pass the ball, the time to do it is first down
mm-hmm.
when they're looking for the run.
Right, right.
And he said, if you're the quarterback, if he called a pass play on third down, you might want to say, hey, coach, mm-hmm. it's a little bit harder now.
Yeah, no, right, right. And I'm sure, I guarantee you, when Romo was playing, he probably had that happen with Garrett, where Garrett's, okay, so they're up by 10 or up by 3, and it's first down, and it's like, okay, let's run the ball. And he's probably called out of it, like, we're going to check out of this.
Yeah,
we're not doing this.
This is not the time, you know, you want to pass it when they're not looking for it.
Right, yeah. Right. A little deception. Don't play right into their hands.
Yeah, don't. But he's probably thinking, he knows that I know that he knows that I know mm-hmm. that he knows. That's the kind of coaching Gruden does.
So I'm going to switch it up and do exactly what he thinks I'm going to do.
Do you think I'm being too hard on Gruden right now, you know, I think I'm being a little bit too hard on him.
Coach, what do you think about
Well, Coach, what was your thinking? Why were you doing that?
Defensive linemen, linebackers, safeties, corners, tight ends,
yeah.
Offensive linemen,
play too.
Running backs, I think, mm-hmm. and receivers.
Yeah, well, he obviously knows more about the game than we do.
Right, well, at least he knows the position.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
but
boy.
For the longest time, it seemed like both coaches were competing for the most stupidest man in the world.
Well, Jason Garrett won. He won that one. And not because Jay Gruden proved smarter, but because his players couldn't bail him out of a bad situation.
Good point.
So bad. Oh, man. So I guess we give the defense an A for the game. I give the defense an A.
I give them an A-, mm-hmm. a strong B. I give the coaches a C-, right? You know,
they're lucky to get that.
Because Dallas helped them. The fact they didn't give the ball to Zeke and they didn't have to.
It's unbelievable. You got a player like Zeke. He gets the ball 15 times. He runs the ball 15
I don't
in a game that's never that where the lead was never more than 10, and it got to 10 late in the game.
Late. It's just complete. There's no excuse. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse. None at all.
Right.
But we're happy.
And especially when that's supposed to be the strength of the team. And the offense we give, I would say a C+. I mean, you didn't lose the game for the team.
They would have gotten a C-, but Adrian Peterson by himself.
Yeah.
Brought them up.
He gets an A.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always. And I think the receivers, believe it or not, brought them grade a little mm-hmm. higher. So I'm going to give them a B- for this
okay.
one.
Yep. Okay. There you go.
Because like you said, they only scored 13 points.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Right.
So those are the grades on the Federal Football Report. A couple of things we had noticed. Nothing that really, this is not a big deal, but I didn't notice an abundance of Cowboy fans in the stadium. Did you?
Oh, yeah. I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
I noticed an abundance, and I was saying they were up close, too. I didn't like that.
Okay.
But I will say this. They seemed very cordial. They weren't being obnoxious like they usually are.
Well, it's hard to be obnoxious when your team's down 20-10 and about to fumble it.
That's true. They know their place. They know their place, right? You know who was obnoxious? I found out firsthand. Well, not firsthand. I know somebody who was at the game. The Green Bay fans were very obnoxious.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they were very
obnoxious
sure.
in the game. You know, I'm glad that we beat them, too. Right? All right. I wish New Orleans, maybe in the playoffs when New Orleans comes to town, we'll see how obnoxious they are. Right?
We'll have home field advantage.
Yeah. We go up a home field advantage, right? You know.
There you go.
No, we've only lost one game in the conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know,
mm-hmm.
tiebreakers and stuff. Like, you might maybe the tiebreaker. We need somebody to beat New Orleans, right? You know,
right?
And before, you know, if we have to go back to the Superdome to beat them, we've done it before. That's no problem. We can do that. I'm looking ahead, though. Let's beat the Giants first.
Another thing, we had talked about how this game was on CBS. And I can't remember. I've seen so many NFC matchups on CBS. Yeah. You said you.
Well, Dan Steinberg. Maybe after the break we can cue that up and see exactly what that was. But yeah, there's a reason for it. There's a reason, and I think it's very flattering.
Some kind of flex situation where the network can choose which game they want.
Right, right, and of course they're gonna choose the game they feel can get the best ratings. Right, and you know the options were probably I think you had like San Francisco playing the Rams, which wasn't gonna be that much of a barn burner. Mm-hmm. You got the they could have had the Ravens and Drew Brees, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
They could have, but they figured they were going to roll the dice with the Burgundy and Gold, and that's what they got.
They got a really good game.
Yes, they did.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. The Redskins improved to 4-2. Cowboys fall to 3-5 after a 2017 win over there in Landover, Maryland. Coming up after the break, we are going to give out the Stanfield Player of the Game. Also, we're going to take a look at next week's matchup and do some predictions as well. And also, I've got to ask Kevin a question coming up. And we'll see what he says. How's that for a tease? I'm going to ask Kevin a question and see what he has to say.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Wow. Sounds like radio professionals, right? On Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. Welcome back to the final segment of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Kevin, it's interesting because I was just looking at the schedule. The Cowboys fans are going to have to live with this for 2 weeks because they have a bye week next week.
That's right.
So their last memory is going to be this crazy loss, this what do you call it, the clank.
The clank game, the clank of victory.
Yeah, well, there
clank,
you go.
Clank, 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 clank.
Absolutely, and so they can't gain a game then in a week.
That's right.
So the Redskins can get two games over the Cowboys. The Eagles play at Jacksonville next Sunday morning over in London. This is the third game this season in London or overseas.
Yeah, third. I remember the Seahawks play. I forget exactly who they played.
Mm-hmm.
Today's game was
Tennessee and not Jacksonville. Tennessee and the Chargers.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That was there. Very close game. Very exciting game. And then next week's game, I just don't see it. I don't see the point. I mean,
I will say this: it was good waking up early and watching some football. Seriously, it was good getting up, man. Yeah,
getting the LA thing going.
Man, it was so good today. Our church, Impact Fellowship, we have church at 2:00. And so we're able to kind of get up and have brunch and go out to Target, do some stuff for the house, and then go to church.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And so I'm waking up and football's on. I'm like, man, I was going to clean the house and stuff. I said, I'm just going to sit here, kick my feet up and watch some football. No, and it was a good game. It was good.
At National Church of God, church starts at 9:00, and I left. And usually I'm listening to a pregame show, right? Uh-huh. But since the game was at 4, there's no pregame. But it was live football.
There you go.
Well, this is all right.
So I think, you know what? I like that. I don't know what we'd have to do here. Do you think we could get games to start at 10:00 in the morning?
You know what? You know, when
East Coast early starts.
When things start going, when the Raiders move to Vegas, they might change some things just for that. But speaking of which, I know I've done it. I know you've done it. But the experience of watching pro football in Vegas. It's kind of unique. Now it's going to change when the Raiders come to town because you go through Vegas and you see a lot of Raiders merchandise around.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is all the visitors in Vegas wear their team's jerseys.
Yeah.
And go watch the various games.
Now,
like the
what's interesting is that except the sportsbook part, but that's kind of like what it seems like in London where. The camera was showing, you know, video of the people in the stands. There were folks with Bills jerseys on, with Cowboys jerseys on, with Packers jerseys on. They just wear their favorite team jersey and then go to the game. I do wonder if Vegas is going to be like that.
I think it was like that at first because in hockey you saw what the Golden Knights did, but they developed a kind of a following because it was kind of obvious because I was watching the news one day. I know we got this. We're well-rounded here, and we are the home of the Washington Capitals. We are the flagship of the Washington Capitals.
Federal News Network.
Yeah, we're the ones who actually do the work for the broadcast, right, for the Washington Capitals. But I digress. Yeah, but I saw how the city wanted to do it, right, and how they supported the team. But it was more like the neighborhood supporting the little league team, right? It was more like, yeah, like the family thing. It wasn't like the raw passion because they just hadn't learned that yet. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take a little while for them to learn that.
To grow that love for the team.
Right,
now,
right,
this
right.
It's just a team that you're going to support because it's your team. But that you have for the team.
It's going to take a little while, but I see it coming. I think the Raiders are going to be very, very successful in Vegas. Very, very successful.
Well, we'll see how that all works out. Yeah. So to preview the upcoming game against the New York Giants. The Giants, again, at this point, 1-5. Redskins, 4-2. It's in New York, 1 o'clock start. Kevin, what do you see with this game?
Well, I see the possibility of establishing our dominance in the NFC East. I see that. If they look at it like that, they beat the Giants when they're down because Saquon has not been as effective as one might hope. And
it's hard to when nothing else is going on with the offense, right?
Yeah, yeah.
See that with Dallas.
Yes.
Hard for Zeke to do things when nothing else is working.
Odell Beckham remains a threat, but, you know.
A threat to his team, too, by the way. Yeah,
but you keep him in check.
A threat to the opponent and a threat to Eli.
Yeah, if Josh could keep it in check and realize that it's not about him and realize it's about the team and put that, you know, the thing that Josh Norman and Dez Bryant came out with the phone thing, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
And we said that, and they got that idea from us, that we said if they could get together and capitalize on that. And I still think that they can do that. But for right now, they're going to have to shut him down. They're going to have to act like they're mortal enemies, right? They're going to have to shut him down. And I think there should be no reason this shouldn't be an easy victory.
Absolutely.
Unless we hurt ourselves.
Right, yeah, no, absolutely. In New York, should be an easy victory, 1 o'clock game. I'm looking at it. I think, like you said, it's an opportunity to number one, just end the Giants season right now.
Yes.
Put them 1-6, it's over.
Yeah,
You're done.
Let's make them regret picking a running back and not picking a quarterback.
Exactly.
First round.
Check them off the list. They're done.
Right.
It also gives you an opportunity that no matter what the Eagles do, if they beat the Jaguars, they're still a game behind you, a game and a half behind you because they still have a bye week coming up. It puts you it will put you two games over Dallas, who would still be 3-4 because they're on their bye week. You get a chance to get a two-game jump on your division. And, man, you can't – I mean, if you're going to be a good team this year, that's what good teams do. You get those moments and you say, you know what, we're going to take advantage of this. We have an opponent that this should be no problem executing this and getting this win, going 5-2 after 7 weeks or after 8 weeks because of the bye week. And it should be a win. And to be honest with you, Jay Gruden needs to put to the side this whole outthink, outcoach scheme thing. Go up to New York, run that ball down their throats with Adrian Peterson, give them a good dose of Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis, and get out of there with the W. The defense is good enough to shut the Giants down.
Yes.
Run that ball and then come back down 95 with the W. Don't get fancy. I see the Redskins winning this game 27-13, and it's not even that close.
That sounds about right. And it shouldn't be that close. It should not be that close.
Absolutely. We've got to give out these Stanfield's players of the game, Kevin. What do you got?
And you know,
you got a special one for us.
Yeah. You know, first of all, for the Burgundy and Gold, I'm going to go with the whole receiving core. They each get Stanfield because they played like they had Stanfields on, right? Because it wasn't pretty. It wasn't the sweet long bombs, the touchdown passes and all that. But they got the first downs. They were picking the dirt out of their helmets. The Stanfields motto was strong and free. That's the way they played, strong and free today. Josh Dotson, Mo Harris, and like I said, Malcolm Floyd caught a bus to the stadium, got his jersey then.
Uh-huh.
He just made it, you know. So the whole team played like they were wearing Stanfields today. So next week, they could actually be wearing them because they're our Stanfield. They're our original Stanfields players of the game. But we got a special tribute today.
Very special.
Special. Now, we all know our friend Rodney Henderson, our Giants insider, who will be joining us next week. Yes, he has too. But his daughter... Kenzie.
Okay.
Right. Star volleyball player for the Rock Creek Christian Church, right?
Nice.
You know, star volleyball player. But check this out. I mean, volleyball is a team sport, right?
You know? It is. Uh-huh.
And, you know, you got to have
it
one.
It is? Team sport.
Now, Kenzie, in one game, was personally responsible for 15 points.
Wow.
In the volleyball game. 15 points. Now, that's unheard of. I'm trying to pull up the details here. She had 10 aces on the serve.
That's good.
10 aces.
Okay.
And 5 putbacks.
Nice.
The points, right?
Nice.
So single-handedly scoring 15 points in the game.
Unbelievable. She's unstoppable.
That is wearing your Stanfields right there.
Absolutely.
Because she definitely came to play.
She's definitely strong and free.
And free. She
Absolutely.
Came to play. So
wow.
She is the first ever female recipient of the Stanfields Player of the Game. And if you go on Stanfields.com and notice their wardrobe and notice their selection, they have a fine selection for women.
Absolutely.
Right. So Kenzie deserves it.
Stanfield Player of the Game.
Yes, indeed.
There you go. Good job, Kenzie. Quick Little League flag football check-in. So my son and they played their sixth game of the season.
Yes.
They won, I think the score was 32-16 or something like that. He scored 2 touchdowns.
Man, he scored 2 touchdowns.
2 touchdowns and got a 2-point conversion. So that brings his total to 19 touchdowns in 6 games. Now, he only scored 2 this week because some of the other kids are getting better, so they're scoring as well when they catch the ball.
Right.
So there are 2 kids in particular who are no longer running backwards. They're running the right way.
Oh, that helps.
And some of the other kids are so bad at tackling that all you got to do is run forward and you'll likely score. And so that's what's happening.
You know, but I see some Stanfields in Manny's future too, right? You know, because if Manny breaks that 20 touchdown mark, you know, how can we not award him the Stanfield player?
Well,
so Manny, hang in there, man. Just do your best. You know, be strong, be free.
Exactly.
Stanfields are coming to it.
He's got 2 more games, and so we'll see if he can get 1 more touchdown in 2 games. He seems to score in 2 more practices.
Oh, okay, right.
Out. There we go. So it's the Federal Football Report. It's a win over the Cowboys, 20-17. The Clank game. You know what? Actually, the Cowboys kicker gets to Stanfield.
He needs
because he's going to need some comfort.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. He's going to need that extra protection.
Exactly. Coming up next week, we'll be back in studio. Redskins, Giants. It's going down on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network.